It's SWOPES. My crew, my boo, my weed's the best. So ahead of my time, you can't see me yet. But the last thing you'll ever see is me be stressed.
Hey everybody, welcome to my podcast. It is your girl, Elise Swopes, and I am so excited. This is gonna be a good podcast. I have a very interesting guest with us today, Sir Trash Hand. Welcome to my podcast, Sir Trash Hand. I don't know why I'm calling you Sir Trash Hand, but it seems...
I'm taking it.
Your name is Sirdar, so, you know. I mean, I'm saying it kind of weird. How do you say your name? No one really knows your name.
Well, the American way would be Sirdar.
Sirdar.
But Turkish, it would be probably Sirdar.
Sirdar. I'm not even gonna... You know me. You've been learning Turkish recently, too. So, yes. I mean, you're 100% Turkish, right?
Yes. Well, I was born here. I'm first generation American, but my parents are Turkish. They immigrated over here 40 something years ago. So maybe 50 something years ago now, I think.
It's a while back.
It's been a hot minute.
Yeah. Usually, I mean, we live together. So I know that you were just at your dad's house or your parents' house for 8 days. So welcome back. I'm glad that we could have you here and we could chat about our relationship because no one really knows about us very much. You know, I think it's interesting that we can have this time to, you know, just talk about where we come from, where we're going, who we are in this relationship that we have, because I don't think we ever have. How do you feel about it? I feel like you've been nervous for the last few days.
I've been nervous about this. I think we've done a good job about keeping our relationship kind of private.
To an extent. There was a rough period, at least for me.
I just feel like when everything is blasted on social media so much, when it's this personal, it can make things a bit more challenging. So
I agree. It definitely did. I think we've done a really good job in the last 5 years to keep it like private, but not to like the point where we're like, oh, we're perfect. Like, because I think we still are very realistic, but at the same time, it's not like, look at us, we're so happy and we're great. You know, it's like more like we're just people and we're existing together and we're having a good time.
Totally.
Anyway, so the people always ask me, how did we meet? And they think, you know, we met on Instagram. We met before Instagram even existed. I mean, I think I was your first follower. I'm pretty sure. And I was creeping on you. I don't even think we were like dating them yet.
Yeah, but I was like sitting next to you on the couch when
were you? Yeah. We have such a different memory of this. This is like the strangest part because I feel like I remember very clearly that I was living at Izzo's house at the time. I remember being on like a blow up mattress by myself in the room that I was staying in. And I was on Instagram and I remember like finding your Instagram and I was like, oh my God, there he is. And I like followed it and I was kind of creeping because I felt weird that maybe this was Facebook. I'm not sure.
You're talking about Facebook.
I'm definitely talking about Facebook. Because I did send you a message and you did not respond to me.
Yeah, you're going to like, before we were dating.
And mixing up a different...
Before we were even hanging out.
Yeah. Absolutely. I remember that very clearly.
That was the stalking stage.
That was definitely the stalking stage. Well, let's go back a little bit because that was after we actually met. Okay. So when we met at a friend's birthday party, Vic Lloyd. Okay. And we were at a bar called Hogs and Honeys. And the bar had like a bull ride in it. It had like bras all over the wall. It was like a really crazy bar. Like I remember just
Southern Western.
Yeah. And they would have, what did they have, like ABC Sundays and stuff or whatever, you know, like Joe and them would always throw their parties there.
They had a weekly event there.
Yeah.
So to throw Vic's birthday party only felt right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I remember seeing you like across the bar, and I swear I just you know when people talk about like love at first sight, like I swear I loved you at first sight.
Yeah, facts.
I swear. Yeah. I like could cry just thinking about it. Like eyes were watering up. You know, I cried at everything, but like
I just remember how hard I was staring at you.
I remember it because I was so scared.
I'm sure.
Because at the time I wasn't really used to like how you looked, like how you look at me, like your eyes are very intense, you know, like you can look really intense sometimes.
For sure.
So I wasn't, I just didn't know you. But I remember looking, I mean, I remember asking one of our friends who I remember seeing you talk to. And I was like, who is that? Do you know him? And he's like, he just asked me about you. And I was like, oh my God.
Shout out Andrew.
Andrew, what's his last name? Koenig, yeah. Andrew Koenig. And you were a bassist for Rocky Fresh at the time, actually. That's why you were so, you know, I mean, intertwined with all the people at the time. Because you were playing music. You were a sound engineer, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I mean, you were also an EMT, I think.
I never even played bass before I started hanging out with Rocky, and they just needed a bassist. So I just borrowed one from a friend and kind of learned it. It's not too complex, especially for rap music. So
I mean, you guys played shows and everything. You were like on stage playing it. So obviously you had to know something.
Well, I played piano for like 16, 17 years. Yeah. So yeah. I think being a pianist for all those years and my love for music kind of helped.
Yeah.
Make that an easy transition.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, you were playing music. I mean, you were also like helping people produce music as well at Rax Tracks, I think, right?
Yeah.
In Chicago, which is the reason why you were even in Chicago totally. In the first place. I mean, you had been living there for what, like a few years at the time? You had just moved from Florida, or were you in Maryland?
I was in Florida.
Yeah, you were. You were going to school for recording
at Full Sail University. Yeah. Got my associates. And then I needed somewhere to go after that. And then I finally got an internship at Rax Tracks. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Rick Barnes for blessing me with that opportunity. Yeah. And then I did that for a while. You know, eventually became, you know, assistant engineer for Rick and this producer named Neil Kernan, which was an amazing opportunity. But then I finally left that field, became an EMT. Mm-hmm. And then as I was getting ready for paramedic school, I met you.
Yeah. And just threw everything off track.
Yeah, completely.
I mean, I feel like you were doing some EMT jobs when I met you, too. You were like, I mean, you were on set with like NBC, like certain little things here and there where you would help out with certain things. I would see that. It was pretty cool. Yes,
but I was like an on-staff EMT.
Yeah.
And, for like higher. A set. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So in case somebody like, some production fell off a ladder or they got a paper cut or something. I was like there to give them their Band-Aid or pretty much call 911 first.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, we were big time struggling when we both met. I think right when I met you, I mean, granted, there was that chasing stalking moment where like we were trying to figure things out and I was trying to get your number and you wouldn't give it to me. But eventually you did. And it was pretty intense, like right away. I think I was somewhat like homeless a little bit. I wasn't paying rent at Izzo's house. I was like living at my friend's house. You had been living in a coach house. And so I ended up kind of living with you, like.
From the jump. I remember like, after the first night we hung out, I think I saw you nearly every day.
Yeah. I mean, now I'm thinking back, I mean, we should probably at least tell the story about when we first hung out. Like when I first went to your house, when you picked me up from...
That's all where, you.
What was that bar called?
Somewhere on Halsted.
It wasn't... That's not the name of the bar. No.
It's like Halsted and Fullerton.
Oh, God. Like Tonic Room.
Tonic Room.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And I was like Tonic Room. I was partying with everybody like we always do. And you came and picked me up. And I was lit. Like, I was young. I mean, we were at least, I was 21. I just turned 21. Like, I remember. Because when I first met you, I was like 20, just becoming 21. And So, you picked me up. I get to your, like, taking shots. I remember taking shots with, like, Jameson and stuff like that.
We took one or two shots.
At least one or two.
At least one. It wasn't more than that.
It was not a lot at all.
I'm pretty sure you only took one, to be honest.
It was not a lot
whatsoever.
Like, absolutely not a lot. And last thing I remember, I'm sitting on your couch and I just fall asleep.
I'm pretty sure I used the restroom. And then I come back out and you were just asleep. Knocked out on the couch. Like, knocked out in a sitting up position.
Yeah.
And I remember just, like, being calling your name a couple times, noticing you were knocked out, grabbed the blanket... Left you sitting up, put the blanket up, and then I just went upstairs and went to bed.
I woke up in the morning and I had Oshk, which is your cat that I met you with, and we still have. And I woke up to her, and I woke up to a blanket on me and a shame. And I remember, I think I remember tweeting something very specific, and I was like, tried to get some, but failed, you know, like, or something yeah, like
hashtag
that.
Hashtag fail.
Yeah. And I remember you looking at the tweet or something, and you thought it was so cool. You thought it was, like, so funny that you were part of that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I didn't know how to read the situation at all. So I went to bed, like, so confused. I don't know what to do. So when I saw that, it just felt very, like, I don't know. You just broke the tension completely, and it made me feel,
yeah,
I don't know, so much.
We were definitely super, like, cool with each other after that, you know, like, really comfortable and just, like.
Yeah, that set the tone for sure.
Yeah, it definitely set the tone.
But I think I saw you the next day even.
Yeah.
I drove you home.
Yeah.
We had our work or day or whatever, mm-hmm. and then I saw you that night.
Yeah.
And that pretty much how it went moving
yeah,
forward.
Yeah, basically.
Until you just, like, stopped leaving.
And I never left 10 years later. Okay, so, I mean, did you, when you first met me, did you think it was going to be serious? Did you, like, think right away? Were you in for a serious relationship? Were you looking for one?
I don't think I was looking for a serious relationship.
I don't think I was either. I really wasn't.
I don't think so.
I was just, like, out here. Like, I hate, not like that. You know what I mean? I hate to say it like that. But I guess, I was young,
you
know?
We were both out here.
We were seeing different people. I remember you were seeing some girl. I remember, like, you know, I mean, we had our issues where we had to, when we first started seeing each other, we had to be like, okay, you can't talk to you anymore. You know, I mean, how it is when you're, like, young and you're first in a relationship. You kind of have to tell other people that what you're in is serious. And so mm-hmm. I remember a few situations where I definitely had to send some people some messages and be like, yo, leave him alone. I didn't think it was serious like that. You know, I wasn't in it for the seriousness. I was in it for at least fun at first.
But it didn't take me long to realize that things were getting serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. I mean, especially after I moved in. That was when we were like, okay, yeah.
And you moved in. I'm telling you, you moved in probably like after a month.
It was not that long.
Yes.
It was not that long at all.
After probably that first night you came over, it was probably a month long.
Yeah.
After that, before you started.
For sure.
Moving your stuff in.
Yeah. I mean, and now
But you didn't have much stuff in the first place.
No. I mean, I had nothing. Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, just beginning my life.
Yeah.
But now, you know, in our lifetime, I think we're very serious. We were looking at rings the other day.
Absolutely.
Trying to fit them to my hand. I don't know what you're going to be doing. We don't have anything planned. You haven't proposed or anything. And I'm not expecting you to, you know, have anything crazy and dramatic, but I'm going to allow you to do your thing, you know, in your time. There's no pressure, but I think we're in such a great place in our relationship from our ups and our downs, most importantly, is that we can.
Well, I think over the span of these past 10 years, we've talked about marriage and kids in so many different ways, mm-hmm. and our perspective has changed so much mm-hmm. that, you know, at one point we didn't care to get rings. We didn't want to have a wedding.
Yeah.
At one point, we did want those mm-hmm. things, followed by we didn't want those things yeah. anymore.
Every week, I feel like it's different, at least for the theatrics of it. But, like, we want for each other, I feel like now we're confirmed.
I think there's nothing wrong with having a great symbol
mm-hmm.
to wear daily on your ring and mine to show, like, you know, how serious in our love for each other. Yeah. But I don't know, you know. Especially post-COVID, having like this big wedding
weird.
Or whatever is necessary.
Dangerous.
Or
it's ignorant.
Would even like validate our
yeah.
marriage for each other mm-hmm. in any capacity.
Right. So. I don't think so. I mean, we're not like those types of people who need to be like, look at us and our love, everyone. Like, we're more about each other with it. You know, like, we just know how we need to communicate with each other and how we need to be with each other. It's not about anybody else.
Totally.
Because they haven't ever really mattered, to be honest.
And I enjoyed ring shopping. I thought that was cool. I got to
see. That was a lot of fun. We learned a lot.
Your taste was.
What was our guy's name?
Day.
Day. At, where is he at?
At Tiffany's.
Tiffany's in where?
In Soho.
In Soho. Go to Day at Tiffany's in Soho.
He was the man.
He was the man.
He was very patient, very descriptive.
He was. He was really helpful and really cool. Yeah, he was super helpful.
Yeah, he was able to articulate everything about a diamond.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with that. Because the thing I learned about Tiffany's and diamonds is that, I mean, I guess this is maybe silly of me, and I learned a lot because I was like, oh, which hand does it go on? Which, you know, I've just never really been interested that much. But once a diamond's gone, it's gone. Like, there's no other one like it. Mm-hmm. Everything is very unique. And so when you see something, you're like, you either got to get it or you just kind of sit on it and hope something else comes up and hope no one else gets it. It's a weird process. I didn't realize it was like that. I thought people were just in the back, like, chipping, like, diamond rocks and stuff.
Well, I'm sure that's part of it.
It's not. Oh, it is. Small, tiny way, you know? I don't know. That's funny.
I just think it was cool to go shopping for it early to see what you wanted. Because I know you're going to be wearing it for the rest of your life.
Yeah. For sure.
So, it's on your thing. So, I don't want to present you something that you're not going to like. You're not going to enjoy wearing.
Yeah. And I think Tiffany's has a good system. They have a good system where they help you. And they're a long-term company. You don't want to go to a company that's just going to, like, go out of business in, like, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 6 years, you know, whatever. Like, Tiffany's is forever.
Also, you want to trust, like, the history and paperwork for each diamond and knowing where exactly it's coming from and whose hands it was in before you.
They have quality control. Yeah. Big time. Like, they were telling us all about the G's and W's and stuff. I don't know what else, all those things of the colors and stuff and the
Yeah, it felt specs. Very, very serious.
Yeah, it was serious. We Okay, so, I mean, I guess people sometimes ask me, do we work together?
Of course.
We have been working together since the beginning.
Yeah. 100%.
You have shot my photos as much as you can. You've helped me as much as you can. You've allowed me to use your camera equipment as much as you can, like, all these years. You've done everything for so long.
I used to. I think now I only help you in the capacity that you just can't do it yourself. You know what I mean?
That's true.
At this point, you've shot so much of your own video, so much of your own photos.
I do now. I'm, like, really self-sufficient. Yes.
Sometimes that's it makes me very self-conscious. Like, yo, she don't need me? I'm right next door. Come ask me.
I think it's that weird feeling when you're like, God, I don't ever want to ask anybody for their help ever again because I just don't want to bother people. I just want
everybody for sure. I mean, it's amazing to see. You're so self-sufficient. And
I really am.
It's only made you
It's crazy.
So much better.
Yeah.
That much faster, you know?
Sometimes I'm like, how am I doing this stuff? I have no idea. I mean, I'm doing stuff that, like, teams are doing. I mean, you helped me. You've been helping me on my video stuff, like that Adobe video thing that was like everyone's saying is green screen. I mean, not everyone's saying it, but, like, goofies are saying it's green screen. It's not green screen. But you help hold the camera when I need it. And that's, like, the most helpful thing anybody can do because I could hire an assistant, so hire somebody else, but I just don't trust them like I trust you. You just get it. And then I can yell at you a little bit too and you won't get mad. I think that's the nice part is we'll have, like, those weird, like, little moments and then we'll just move on, you know, because we're in a much more, like, better communicative space.
Totally. Yeah. And then you don't have to have those, like, professional politics. Like, you don't have to, like, hold something in sometimes.
Right.
You can let it out.
Yeah.
And we can both move on easily, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, supporting you in any way creatively is, like, a passion for mine. I love it. I love seeing you grow and blossom and being able to do something that I enjoy doing for my work to help you out is just a blessing.
Yeah.
So.
And I like helping you too. I mean, I try to be your model as much as I can. Mm-hmm. I try to listen to you as much as I can.
For sure.
You know, you like to get advice a lot. I'm someone who doesn't. I don't necessarily need a lot of advice. I'm like, I kind of, you know, like to do stuff on my own a little bit. So I guess it's hard for me sometimes when you do ask me a lot of questions. But I know why you ask a lot of questions because that's how you know stuff. That's how you learn. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I need to learn how to ask more questions.
Well, I think also I'm working on a more broader platform, but you have you have like such in that
true.
Like ask input really, it muddies and interferes with
that
your
is
vision,
true.
You know,
it's true
because you're working with something like ultimate creativity, which is like imagination. You're adding
right.
elements.
In a specific visual, like a thing, an idea, a goal that I'm trying to accomplish. Because there's always like a whole dichotomy of something that I'm trying to do.
So you're like creating a moment versus me capturing a moment.
Yeah.
So sometimes when you're capturing a moment, it's harder for me because I'm the photographer to see like, is this actually a moment? Because I lived it.
Yeah.
And when you live, when you feel like you've lived so many moments, you can get desensitized to it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm constantly asking for feedback. Like, oh, is this fire?
I think everything you do is fire.
When you can go in, you can just be like, all right, I'm going to put this here, that there, and there, and I'm coming to create something.
It's very controlled in my elements. Mm-hmm. Yours is more like.
So that's why you probably find me asking a lot more. Yeah.
I completely get that. Do you consider either of your parents creative? Where do you get your creativity from?
My father, absolutely.
Yeah.
Father
is definitely cool, creative like that. He's like a hype beast to me.
100%. I think my father just, as early as I remember, he's just always been so creative. He's had the ultimate style. He's loved fashion and dressing up in very unique ways. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he's been a hairstylist pretty much his entire life.
To some pretty famous people, to some like prominent people.
So movie stars, to massive politicians. Yeah. His list is pretty endless.
Right.
But to be a cosmetologist, you have to have like the ultimate vision. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see color, you can see haircuts before it even happens.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to execute that is, I don't know, it's just amazing.
Right. And he's running his own salon with five boys. He has five sons, but four living at home mostly, right? They lived in Turkey, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My three brothers work at the salon. Two of them are hairdressers. Yeah. One's the manager.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know. And then not only him as a hairdresser, he's an incredible artist. His drawing skills are amazing. I remember when he was young, he was a teenager, a family business on my dad's side. They designed belly dancing outfits for like all of Europe. And he used to design when he was a teenager, like the style. He would design different belly dancing outfits that they would produce. So I remember when I was a kid and we'd go get breakfast in the morning on Sundays or something, he'd always grab the kids' menu, turn it around to the blank side and like draw me some like crazy creature or some crazy man like in his own flair. It was pretty cool. And it always looked like runway style, like you'd see on Top Runway and then drawing fashion. Right. He always had that. And I think it always rooted back to his belly dancing stuff from when he was a teenager. Yeah, he just had that very, I don't know, loose, descriptive kind of style. It's pretty cool.
I just love your parents. They're like so cool.
They're fun. They've been through
really fun. Do you compare your relationship to theirs at all? Do you ever be like, oh, I need a relationship like my parents?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think my parents, yes and no. Just because, one, I think it's amazing to see them together after all these years, after 40-something years, 9 years together. It's just an amazing feat. They still love each other like it's day one, and you can see it. One thing is just like there's such an A and B side to them where like, you know, my dad is almost so opposite to my mom. And my mom is so opposite to my dad.
We're kind of the same way a little bit.
Yeah, in a way. But they like fit because they're so opposite, you know?
It's interesting that, you know, you have your parents to be such great role models for you in that way. Because, you know, I grew up with parents who were divorced from such a young age. And I didn't really grow up with many relationships to kind of compare myself to. And so I kind of had to learn a lot through our relationship on what should work. But I guess in my life, I've always said to people, my quote was always, I've learned what I like by what I do. You know, and so I've kind of seen what I don't like in that way. And it's kind of, I guess, helped or hurt our relationship. I mean, I guess growing up, seeing a relationship and not really having a basis like that it's interesting that us two can come together and have two different, completely different lifestyles, but still make it work.
Yeah, I mean,
you have a lot of brothers. I just have one little brother. I say little, like, loosely. He's 28, I think.
Yes.
29, yeah.
I'm the baby.
You say yes. Oh, I was going to say, you're saying yes to my brother's age. I was like, how do you know? I was like, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, you're the baby. I'm the oldest. You know, so our dichotomy in families is very different. So we've had to kind of learn with one another on how to build a household. So what do you think our roles are in our relationship? Who do you think is like the caregiver? Who do you think is more like the organizer? Who do you think, you know, like those types of things? Who makes what? Well,
I would say you're the organizer for sure.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I think that we're both really organized on our days, on our certain days. Now, I think now I'm more organized than both of us combined, yes. Like,
yeah.
By on, far. I'm, like, on a different phase. Right yeah, now. Super Saiyan. But when we first met, I feel like you were, like, way more organized than me. Like, you were always doing stuff, always getting stuff done. You know, everything was, like, done because you did it.
For sure.
You know? Yeah. I mean, took it me a while to
it
learn.
It would still be that way. I just think that...
I mean, you're still very much on top of things. Not to say you aren't, but I think it's more like now I can take care of myself and it's not you taking care of both of us.
And then we also both have a bunch of shit going on. So
yeah. Individually. Because we don't always just work on projects with each other. We work on our own individual stuff all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, when we're working with each other, it's really... One's working to support the other one
right.
for their project.
Right.
It's not like we got hired together for this one thing.
I mean, that's happened sometimes. We've done projects in Chicago with each other. Like, we did that Jordan thing, that party where...
And we did that photo show with Sony in Miami.
Yeah, Sony. Yeah, that Sony party was lit. That Jordan party was lit. When we do shit together, we, like, do
You're talking about the Champs
stuff.
Thing.
Champs. We did the Champs thing. Yeah. Champs, yeah. We did some fun stuff together.
But mostly it's
like I'm hired or you're hired and I'm assisting you. Yes. And, you know, yeah. But I think our roles are interesting because now we're very much balanced. Now we know what we're good at. Totally. So, you know, I make sure that as much as I can, unless I'm busy, I know you always help out. But I love to cook. I enjoy it. It's like a passion of mine. So it brings me joy to cook for you and to cook for us. So that's my thing. At least I try to do the dishes when I can, but you do them if you can when you have the time, which I always appreciate and I think is fantastic.
Yeah,
I can't fold the laundry for shit, so that's your duty. You are terrible. I'm horrible at it, and it's not on purpose.
No.
It's not on purpose. It's just, it's got to be written in the stars somehow. I'm just not good.
I just have a very specific way that I like my laundry folded, so.
Yeah.
I just took
Do
over
you know
those
your
duty.
Sign? You're Capricorn,
I'm
right?
a Capricorn.
Yeah, you're Capricorn. We need to find your moon and your rising or whatever those other ones are. I think I'm a Sag on the cusp, though. I'm a Cap, like, with you more so. We have a lot in common. Kind of. But anyway, it says a lot about that.
I think I do most of the cleaning, though. I mean, I clean it every morning.
You do.
I have, like, a little morning cleaning routine.
I think it's... You get to it before I do, which is good, which I like, which I think is important because I'm not going to do it until after I do my morning routine, after I get to my emails, after I do my yoga, after I do my shower, after I eat. You know what I mean? Like, that's already in noon. Like, there's no time and I'm already working. You know, it's like.
Yeah, the way my brain works, I couldn't do any of that without cleaning the house first.
I know.
So it's the first thing I do when I wake up.
I'm so glad that that's...
Dishes, vacuum, cat litter, and laundry.
Yeah.
It's like my four things.
It helps so much.
Laundry's obviously, helps with the mental. You know, twice a week or something, but...
Yeah. Yeah, that we do that rarely. You don't have that much, but you do a great job. I think it's a fairly new process in the quarantine. I
mean, we switch off with cat food.
Yeah, we do.
You do every morning. Yeah. I usually do every night. And then
cat food is rough because
afternoons
we
switch
out,
off usually.
I wake up at 5 a.m. so I have to put the cat food out. They're like at my neck about it, on my pillow, punching me in the nose, yelling at me. They're like, feed me. So I'm up feeding. I'd be up anyway. I'm like up because my circadian rhythm is telling me that I should already be up. It's because I'm just used to it. That's the habit I've got. So, yeah, I mean, I think we're pretty balanced at this point. That's why we're talking about marriage. I think we've got a good dichotomy of our relationship, how we communicate, how we divvy up our tasks and our habits and things.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh, we're like in our 30s. When we met, we were like early 20s. You're like an idiot then. You're just stupid. You're like figuring stuff out all the time, you know?
Totally.
Did you feel like you knew everything at that age?
Absolutely.
Why do we think we know so much? Like, what is that about? I mean, I guess it's all about confidence. You got to survive.
Totally. You
know? How can you blame yourself? What are you going to do? Like, be shitty? You can't. You have to support yourself. You have to be your own friend. The same way I feel now. I mean, I'm sure later in my life, I'll think I'm probably a goofy right now, but I'll be thankful for the stuff I'm doing. That's why I make decisions for my future self a lot more now, because I envision that process of my future self looking back at me now and being like, damn, she was dope. And she really set me up for like greatness. Like, at least my younger self, I wasn't doing that very much. I was very present, very ridiculous, and very like pleasure driven, you know, like just ridiculous. No care for the future. Did you think a lot? Did you plan quite a bit?
Or not at all. I'm kind of the exact same way.
Yeah.
I think everything was for now, but nothing was for later.
No.
And then no. I think, you know, takes you, I think not only do you become 30 years old, where you start to realize like, man, I really need to start planning for the future and making sure I'm good later on.
It's the most important thing is delayed gratification as you get older, as you start realizing you got to sacrifice a lot of stuff and you got to learn a lot of things in order to better yourself. You got to work out, you got to eat well. Wake up at a certain time, you got to clean your house, you got to communicate in your relationship. Like, we've learned all that with each other. I'm just glad that, you know, we've stuck through it, because relationships are not easy. They're not easy at all. We've been through a lot of difficult challenges. I mean, that's, I think, the hard part about a lot of relationships for a lot of people is that they think it's supposed to be easy, you know, because you love each other. It's not. It's a lot of work. Putting two lives together and you're also growing as individuals.
Totally. I mean, you and I are not the same people we were 10 years ago.
No.
At all.
Absolutely not.
And it would be ridiculous for me to believe that you would be the same person, or expect you to be the same person you were 10 years ago. I don't know if I would even love that same person 10 years ago, because I'm a different person 10 years later, you know? And I love you who you've become.
Yeah.
And who you are today.
Right.
And who you're looking to become.
We were so young and so funny. I had really bad eyebrows, so I can't imagine you would. Just kidding. Yeah. Do we want kids?
I always say, if it happens, it happens. But I'm not working towards
that. That's not true. If it happens, it does not happen. I mean, not to say like that, but like, you're not happy about it. You'd be like, oh shit, this is crazy. Like, we're not really doing it on purpose at all right now. We're like very safe. We're trying to be like super great.
Yes.
Yeah. No, we don't want kids right now. I think for me personally, I've always thought about, let's get this bread and let's at least save some kids. You know, let's adopt. But I do want to at least give birth at least once. You probably have different thoughts about it, because I have to birth it out of my body. Birth is scary. You know, the thing about birth, though, is I think you have to be, I think you really got to prepare yourself. You got to work out. You got to eat well. You got to do the right thing, you know? I feel like I would be really no,
you'd be super obsessed.
I would be obsessed.
You'd be the like, most perfection. Prepared.
Yeah. But sometimes, as prepared as you are, things can go wrong. And that's, like, the most scary part. You know what I mean? Like, that, it's not, like, a magical thing.
I mean, but I think you said it perfectly. You know, it would be wonderful one day to have one of our own. But also, like, I think adoption, we've talked about adoption so many times. I think it would be amazing. There's already so many of us in this world. I don't think as a society, as a species, we were supposed to be this big of a population on this planet. So I think just
got out of hand.
I think everything got out of hand. So I think if we just adopted, it would do, you know, our part. Yeah. Just helping out.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think we'll have this. We have the space in our hearts and we have the mental capacity. I think right now we're just focused on making sure we can provide.
Totally.
I want to at least provide mentally and physically and emotionally and, you know, like all of that. And that's the only way I can do that is if I'm 100% good. So I feel like we're doing the smart thing by working on ourselves first and making sure that once that comes about.
Mm-hmm. I think we're, I mean, you're never too old to adapt. No. And I think we're still young, so.
Yeah.
We're just riding this out.
Ride it like a wave. We'll figure it out. It does happen, though. I think we'll obviously keep it and we'll have a baby.
Absolutely.
So stay tuned, folks.
Okay.
No pressure or anything. I'm not trying to, but, you know, it's up there. I think it'll be fine. Yeah, it'll be great. Do you have any advice for people out there about relationships, things you would tell yourself, things you would tell your nephews, your nieces?
I think some of the best advice that I would give to someone is to watch your temper.
I agree.
Don't overreact. Mm-hmm. And really think about how you articulate yourself. Mm-hmm. Be as clear as possible. Getting angry is never the right way.
Yeah, I agree.
I think.
I feel the same way.
Lying is probably the thing that you can do. Mm-hmm. I think losing trust in a relationship is like the hardest thing to ever win back.
Yeah.
Not in a relationship, just like in life.
Yeah.
Trust.
In general.
Because trust is connected to respect and empathy and love and so many other feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. So, and then patience. Mm-hmm. And then the whole common, you know, accept, don't expect type thing. You know, yeah. You can't expect anything from anybody and expect them to do this or do that or to have behaved this way or mm-hmm. whatever. You just need to accept the person for who they are and who they become. Love them as much as possible.
That's perfect. I agree with all of that. I truly do. And that's all exactly what I would say.
Yeah, because those are the things that you've taught me.
That is true. I feel like we've taught each other that by how much we've not known that. You know, we've learned enough through our mistakes. And that's what people have to realize is you're going to make a lot of mistakes in your relationship, you know. But
absolutely. I was not perfect in the last 10 years.
No, me either. You know, we never, for sure. we never will be, you know, but I think the cool part is forgiving yourself and forgiving each other through that, you know, and making sure that you can grow with one another through that and trust one another. And that's why you say, you know, your life partners, because it's not like your life perfect partners, your life partners by growth, by change, by
forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Yeah.
I think that was one of the things that I always felt was that anytime I've ever screwed up and I've asked for forgiveness, I felt like each time you've always truly given it to me.
Yeah.
And that's allowed.
Time, of course, for either of
sure.
us.
For sure.
Everything takes time.
But
you
I
have
think,
to give it time. You have to be patient.
But I always think I truly felt it enough. Mm-hmm. Like I never damaged anything that couldn't be.
Yeah.
Like I always felt like our relationship was still stable. Mm-hmm. There was still something here mm-hmm. and we were never taking a step back.
Right.
Like the conversations that we did have was always a step forward, mm-hmm. even though it may have been an argument.
They are
or
now.
Or something bad. You know, yeah, they are
we
now.
We can communicate now better.
For sure. Years
in the last
years
5
later.
Years.
Yeah.
Years ago it wasn't.
But
like
I think
that.
That's why now like as where we stand now mm-hmm. like we're as strong as we've ever been.
Yeah.
You know. COVID didn't, quarantine didn't tear us apart, you know?
Yeah, I swear, we haven't.
I thought we got closer because of it.
I don't think we.
We were already homebodies,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. So. That's the thing. I mean, we were already kind of, I mean, in those few years of us kind of figuring out what worked for us, we had already figured out that we needed to stay home and needed to, like, be to ourselves and to focus on our relationship. Because all the outside stuff is, at the end of the day, not the long term.
Totally.
You learn through that a lot.
Absolutely.
And you start realizing that that stuff isn't really, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
What do you think is worth it?
What do you mean?
In your life. What do you stand for? What do you live for? What do you think is worth it?
What do I think is worth it?
Yeah. In the relationship, why do you continue?
I just love the shit out of you. I think you're worth it.
I think the same way.
I think you're so special and unique and amazing. And I think you've grown into something that's just like an unstoppable force.
Thanks.
That, you know, if anything, I just want to be here and support you and love you. I feel like you're growing such a clear vision of what you want your life to become, the mission you have for your life, and how much you want to help other people.
Yeah.
And I think it's so genuine and so beautiful that, like, I just want to be around and help you and support you as much as I can.
Yeah.
And then shoot and capture my stuff along the way.
You know I'm your biggest fan, so.
Of course.
I've been your biggest fan every day, every time. Every time you doubt yourself, I'm like, stop being crazy. And I'm like,
watch your words.
That's our joke in the house. Anytime you say anything, you know, negative or whatever, we're just like, watch your words. Because sometimes it's silly. We'll even say, watch your words to some goofy stuff. But thanks again for being on. I really appreciate it. This has been a really great conversation. And I'm surprised that it took us this long, but I'm actually not, because I think it's the perfect time for us to have the conversation. You know, I think we're at a good place where time has passed since a lot of growth, you know, a lot of change. And I think we've like rebuilt our trust. I think we can talk more about things, and I think we know each other. And I just want to, like you said, you know me, and you know that I want to help other people. And so I feel like us having conversations like this will help other people in their relationships and maybe show them what they can work on and maybe stay working on.
Absolutely.
Because it's not the end of the road when you feel like it is. You know, when you feel like you love somebody and it feels like it's right. You know, sometimes you really have to work hard and make it work.
You have
to make sure that you're working on yourself, though, too. That's the biggest thing about, that's my advice, at least, is making sure that in a relationship, yes, you should rely on each other, you know, and support each other in certain ways. But you should also be bettering yourself, because when you better yourself, you better each other, and you can communicate better. You can help each other communicate better. Like, how much has me helping myself helped each other? How much has you helping yourself helped each other? Like, that has been our greatest backbone through everything.
Yeah, I always try to go back to that mentality of, like, you know, love yourself the way you would love your best friend, you know? Yeah. So how much I support you and how much I try to compliment whatever, you know, sometimes I can be my own worst enemy. So I just need to go back to that mentality. Like, love yourself the way you love Elise, you know? Like, be your own best friend, be your...
Because the only time
support system.
You're absolutely right. Because the only time, let me tell you this, the only time we have issues in our relationship is when you don't, like, you're not completely sure of yourself.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, even me, like, that's our biggest issues. Anytime we've ever broke up is because, right? Like, it's because we weren't sure of ourselves. And when we are finally sure of ourselves, I feel like that's when everything works out.
Totally.
Love you. Thanks for being on.
It's been so hard to look at you the last 5 minutes. Your eyes have just been so watery, ready to cry.
Normally, it's funny because I always cry, like, during my mentee calls, during my other podcasts, like, and no one ever gets to see me cry, but I cry at everything. And so it's funny to have someone else kind of see me on the other end, because you can see
that. Your eyes have been watery this entire podcast.
Don't give me away. I'm just a very emotional person. I like cry when I laugh. I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. I cry when I'm like excited. I cry when I'm like just any emotion all across the board. I think my body is just like, yo, what's going on in here? I mean, I don't really know if that's it, but.
I just think you're very empathetic, you know? You live in the moment and you feel a lot of things, you know?
That is true.
And that makes you who you are.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in. As I always say, you know, you could be doing anything else in the whole entire world, but you took the time to be here with me and to learn and to educate yourself. And I think that's the coolest possible character trait you could possibly have. I'll talk to you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.